We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Studio. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, if you bleed blue and white, you got to drink blue and light. I am Jim with Bob, Ross, and now we are going to have a great quarter. I sense it. We are going to give James Franklin some coaching advice. We did this a couple weeks ago, and Ross wasn't here, and I am dying to hear what he has to say. Ross teased us earlier that he's got some great advice. Mm-hmm. Before we get to Ross, yeah. Bob, how about a quick review? A couple weeks ago, you had a couple
of tidbits. I believe Ross is on a cruise ship, I think, when we did this. He was having the time of his life.
There you go.
I might be right. My big thing was, you know, that James tends to say, the offense is designed to take what the defense gives them. But in years past, even when Moorhead was there, there were times they didn't get Barkley the ball enough. And last year, they didn't get Hamler the ball enough, especially in the bowl game. I think you got to commit to your best skill players, and you got to design game plans where Hamler gets the ball 8 to 10 times a game in a lot of different ways. And whoever, if it's Justin Shorter, whoever the number one wideout is, or if it's Freiermuth again, you got to say, hey, we're gonna make sure we try to get the ball to these guys a certain amount of times a game and make the defense account for them. They didn't do that enough last year. It was a big problem, and I don't even think they did it enough when Barkley was here as last year. I think they got to force feed their best players on offense.
Makes a lot of sense. But
what was yours, Jim? Did you have some or no?
Oh, I had a couple.
What were they?
First of all, I don't like that directional kicking because it ends up out of bounds. Just kick it into the freaking end zone, please. I also want to see them get back to more of a vertical passing game. And I also would like to see them take advantage of their team speed on defense more. I want to see them blitzing like crazy.
You know what? It's funny. I've never once heard a fan ever say they want their team to blitz less. Never.
Play
ever.
More passive. Play off.
I've never heard someone say, I wish we would play coverage more. Fans want
blitzing. What
about
the Tampa 2?
Until they get beat for an 80-yard touchdown.
And then why did they blitz?
Why would they blitz? Why would you put him man-to-man on him?
Well, when you
blitz, that's what happens.
Does it make a difference, though, having the team speed that they have on defense?
Yeah. I mean, it helps when you have linebackers and guys that can run like that. But then the flip side is, they got a bunch of really good defensive ends. Those guys should be able to get
blitz,
there.
Yeah.
They should be able to get pressure without blitzing. You know, they should have with Shaka.
Don't
Tony
spoil my advice
and,
here,
and
Ross.
And Etor Gross Matos, and then like Micah and Cam Brown blitzing. They should be able to get a lot done without having to bring extra guys. You can have Cam Brown and Parsons rush without bringing an extra guy.
Okay, well, I consider that blitzing if you're bringing the linebackers.
Well, it depends on how they do it. But, yeah, I hear you. So I kind of took a broader view of the program in general.
Uh-huh.
I have three.
Okay.
Number one, don't say that your number one rival in your division, in your conference, is elite, but you're not. Don't ever, ever say that publicly. Can you imagine any time Penn State and Ohio State are trying to recruit the same kid? If I was Ohio State, I would have that video loop playing. I've had that video clip playing on loop. They are an elite program. We are a great program, but we're not elite. Like, here you go, Julian Fleming. He said it himself. And I'm not saying that's why he picked it, but, and I think I read an article, I think maybe Franklin got interviewed by Joe Giuliano.
Correct.
From the infield, and you could tell he wasn't glad that he wasn't happy that he said that. He was emotional after that game. And I'll also say this, it's really tough being a head coach at that level in the sense that your words just get parsed so much, right? But, and I know he was just being emotional. You can't say that. You cannot say that. And I know what he meant. And by the way, he's right. They are elite and Penn State's not. He's right. But you can't say that out loud. anything you say can and will be held against you in the court of law or the court of public opinion recruiting.
Do you think it made a big difference that at the end of the season they had four losses and seemed like they were even further away from elite, as opposed to if they had finished the season 11-1 and that one loss was the tight loss to Ohio State, where that next recruit you say, that's how close we are. You're going to be the
difference. The difference between one or two losses and four is immeasurable. Four losses, it's like, nah, you lost to Kentucky, you lost to Michigan State, you know. Mm. If they had two losses, it was just Ohio State and Michigan, that's almost understandable.
It's still a heck of a – you won double-digit games.
Yeah, you won 11-2, you know, you won a bowl game, whatever. So that would be advice number one. Advice number two, take more kids from Pennsylvania. And guess what? They might already be doing it. Because I just look at, like, I think the kid from Berks Catholic, Brandon George, who Pitt took, he was destroying people in the Big 33 game. He's not as good as Brandon Smith and Lance Dixon. So I don't blame them for not taking him. I think he'll end up playing defensive line. I just think that there's something there about having kids that – it really is what they've always wanted to do. It's their dream. And it means more than just kind of a career or just playing football. You know, probably the best example I have of that is Hayden Rucci. You know, you don't take Hayden Rucci last year. They didn't offer him a scholarship. But then you're going to offer Tyler Warren a quarterback? You know, from Virginia the very next year. That's kind of weird to me. I mean, both of Rucci's parents went to Penn State. I know he loves Wisconsin, but I personally would be very surprised if Penn State had offered him a scholarship if he hadn't gone there. And by the way, his younger brother is a total freak, and I don't know what will happen with him now because that changes the dynamic. But my point is, you got a kid that all he's ever wanted to do is play football for Penn State. I think – when you're at practice, I think when you're in that morning conditioning, I just think that that matters. I think that it means more to them, right? And I think that that has an impact. And by the way, with them taking Tyler Elsden from North Schuylkill, when them taking Fatorma Mulba from Susquehanna Township, maybe they're taking those kind of kids. Maybe this year they're erring on the side of taking a three-star from Pennsylvania who they think has a really good chance to be a player, as opposed to last year when they didn't. So maybe he's already taking my advice as far as that's concerned. They're also, though, not getting the best Pennsylvania kids. They didn't get Carmody. They didn't get Fleming. Who else? There's another Pennsylvania kid that they wanted that they're not getting.
Well, the quarterback. Didn't you say there was a quarterback from
– for the that's the next year, class, that's 21.
St. Joe's yeah. Prep. Yeah. But, yes. Yeah, I mean, they're not getting all the kids that – And I think those things compound each other too. I think if you take more Pennsylvania kids, you get more Pennsylvania kids.
And to go back to the point you were making in our previous segment, that now when they lost momentum, is it important to get the momentum for kids that you know will not only commit, but they'll stay committed, which these Pennsylvania kids will do?
Right. I think that that's part of it. And by the way, they're also more likely to be the ones trying to get other kids to come. It just matters more to them. You know, like they're Penn State fans. They care. That's why they get all these kids to be able to walk on the way they do. The third one I think is really interesting. Third one I'm going to be interested to hear what you guys say. They didn't get Deion Hayes from Pitt either, who's the third kid in Pennsylvania. And then these next couple guys, Cal Halliday, who's ranked fourth, and A.J. Beatty, five, they never offered those two kids. Then they got Nick Dawkins. He's kind of like that Parkland, Allentown kid. He's kind of in that mix. So in terms of the last one, I'm curious to see how you guys react to this one. I think James Franklin, you could argue, is too nice.
Really?
He was honest with Tommy Stevens, and I just think that there's a lot of college football coaches that would not have been. And I'm not saying this how I would be. I actually respect the heck out of Franklin that he is so nice, right? But what do you think Joe Moorhead told Tommy Stevens and Tommy Stevens' dad? And what do you think James Franklin told Tommy Stevens and Tommy Stevens' dad?
I think you could probably parse it many different ways where both of them will say, oh, I never committed, but I do believe exactly what you're saying. James Franklin was very honest, very candid, and probably by his tone let Tommy know that, hey, Sean Clifford has caught you. And
no, I don't think he said that at all.
You don't think he pointed out to Clifford that Clifford's efforts?
I don't think he said Sean Clifford caught you at all. I think he said, Tommy.
He passed.
No. I think he said, Tommy, I can't guarantee you the starting job. You haven't played in a couple years. You've been hurt twice. You missed all of spring ball. I'm not going to, before the camp even opens, go against everything I talk about in terms of competing and guarantee you the job. I firmly believe Tommy Stevens was going to be the starter and would have started the opening game. I would have been shocked, barring injury, if he didn't. But Franklin wasn't going to guarantee that. I don't know what Moorhead said, but there's no way Stevens would go there unless he's of the mindset that he's going to start or has a great chance to start.
And Moorhead's the only one who could give him that impression. You asked our response. I'll do it as a Penn State fan. I remember being asked for many years about the Penn State culture. Would you rather Penn State was a little shady to get a national championship like we talked about Florida? And my answer is no. I'd rather the success with honor. And I will go the same way here. I'd rather Franklin be the honest guy, straightforward with his players, even maybe too nice. But I think in the long run, you'll get the type of players that we as fans would be proud of.
Well, and on top of that, you know, suspending Manny Bowen. And who was the other one for
Blacknall
the bowl game?
Got suspended.
That was Rose Bowl, right?
Yes.
I mean, that could have been the difference in the game.
Yep.
And by the way, I think a lot of coaches would not have done that. I respect the crap out of James for that. You know, he sickles in the first half of Ohio State game because he missed a class. I mean, Franklin, it's so funny because the perception when he got hired was that he was like this slickster used car salesman guy. Let me just tell you, used car salesman guy, don't let Tommy Stevens walk off the lot.
We talked about Urban Meyer at the start of the show.
They don't don't let Tommy Stevens walk off the lot without thinking that's his car for life. So if he's trying to win, that would be my last piece of advice, if that's the ultimate goal.
All right, that's it for this week's show. We'll see you next week on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.